Welcome to the Adult Explore the Bible Weekly Leader Training Podcast, the podcast where we dive deep into Scripture to uncover timeless truth. This podcast is designed to help teachers prepare to lead a Bible study group using Lifeway's Explore the Bible adult resources. Today, we'll look at three key questions. First, what is the context of the passage? Second, what do we find in the passage? And third, what's one thing leaders should not miss in our leader resources this week? I'm Amber Vaden, your host. This summer, we are studying Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. So I have been saying in a few podcasts that we're going to study Joshua, or that we are studying Joshua and Judges, and I have been forgetting to add Ruth. So someone pointed that out to me, and I realized, oh, I've been forgetting that. So we will study the book of Ruth also this summer, in addition to Joshua and Judges. On the podcast with me today is Bob Bunn. Bob is a member of our Explore the Bible team. He's been on the podcast a lot. Specifically, he is the editor of the Leader Guide, Quick Source, the Leader Pack, and the Leader Extra that is found on our website each week. Bob teaches Explore the Bible at his home church. Bob, thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Amber. And don't forget Ruth. I've got session 13 for the podcast, and I've been doing some research into Ruth. So don't forget her.
I don't know how I missed her. Someone said, did you know we're doing Ruth? And I was like, oh, yeah, I know that. I did know that, but I had not been saying it. We're looking at session 6 today. And in this session, we'll examine Joshua chapter 14, verses 1 through 15. So let's begin our discussion with context first. So let's look at the context of this passage. Last week, we studied Achan and his rebellion against God. And after that, the Israelites conquered Ai and, led by Joshua, renewed their commitment to the law. Moving into the land of Canaan, they conquered city after city. Chapters 13 through 17 of Joshua really describe how the land is allocated between the 12 tribes. So that brings us to chapter 14. Well, let's take a look at verses 1 through 5. The Lord previously had given Moses instructions on how the promised land would be allotted among the Israelite tribes, and that was found in Numbers chapter 34. Following Moses' directives, Joshua, Eleazar the priest, and selected leaders from each tribe divided up the promised land. Lots were cast to identify the inheritance of each tribe, and this was not a matter of chance. The Israelites were confident that God would reveal his will by determining the result of the lots. Bob, talk with us a little bit about these verses. What should leaders pay attention to here?
Well, the thing that sticks out to me is, how do you discern the will of God if you're not casting lots?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really important because we really don't know what lots were. We have pretty good. We have some ideas and we have some theories, but I've not seen any commentator anywhere that's ever said definitely that this is what a lot is and this is how lots were cast. So we really don't know how to do it if we wanted to do it. So how do we find out God's will? Because that's one of the big things. The Israelites wanted to know God's will. They wanted to obey God's will. Joshua was pointing them toward God's will. So that's a huge application point for us. How do we know God's will? How do we discern God's will? And for the Israelites, they had some information to go on. They knew that Joshua, Eleazar, and the tribal leaders were in charge, mm-hmm. and that they trusted them to help them guide them in the right direction. They knew the basic parameters of the promised land. They sort of knew what territory they were going to get what was available anyway. And okay. So they could start with those two things and kind of move forward from there. And that's important for us because, especially that last point, because God often, he'll give us a starting point. We'll know something that lines up with his will.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a little something, a scrap of something, but it's enough to take that first step.
Yeah.
And to be obedient in that first step. And then as we take that first step, we see more, we experience more, we find more, and we can take another step along the way. So, you take a look at what you got and you kind of move forward in that, that's a great starting point. But God has also, thankfully, given us some resources that we can use to find his direction in life, to find his will for us, starting with his word. The Israelites had the law, and they had the oral commands that had been passed down through Moses and Joshua, but they didn't have the full measure of God's revelation in Scripture the way we do. We've got that, and we can go to that. That's where wisdom is. Book of James says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him come to God. Well, how do you come to God? You come to God through his word, and you find out what he has to say about things. They didn't have that to the extent that we have that, and we need to take advantage of it when we're trying to discern God's will. Another thing we have is prayer. We have a direct line of communication to God the Father. The writer of Hebrews says that we can come to God's presence boldly, come to the throne of grace with boldness. The Israelites had to kind of go through priests, and or in some cases they would cast lots to gain clarity. But we get to talk to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the whole Trinity involved when we pray, and that's pretty cool. But we get the chance to tell him exactly what our prayers and what our concerns and what our questions are. Sometimes I think we blow off prayer too easily, and it's just like one of those things that I'll do eventually, or I'll do when I'm in trouble,
right?
When I really am in a pinch, and we don't cultivate it into a lifestyle. You know, one of the things that we've done in our resources is try to emphasize the role of prayer and praying Scripture to God. And so we made that change a couple of years ago, and it's been, I know as an editor, it's been transformational for me to try to think in those terms and not diminish the power of prayer. It's an incredibly powerful tool that we need to have in our spiritual tool belt. So you got Scripture, you got prayer. You also have relationships with believers that you trust. Mentioned a minute ago, they had Joshua, they had Eleazar, they had their tribal leaders. Each of them were filling that role, that relationship role, the mentor, guide, helper kind of role to help them discern God's will. For us, it might be a close relative. It might be a friend. It might be a pastor or another staff member, someone there who can be a mentor to us. You know, the writer of Proverbs says that iron sharpens iron. And so we need to have that iron sharpening us from time to time. We need those kind of relationships. God puts people in our paths who can point us in the right direction, and that helps us discover his will. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we have circumstances that help us discern God's will and to obey his will. God puts us in situations that turn our hearts toward him. And sometimes sometimes it's a blessing, and sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes there's suffering involved with that. Sometimes there's frustration. there's issues of, confusion and chaos. Well, and
yielding our own plan to his.
Yes. Well, yes. But even in the best of circumstances, sometimes, you know, God just lands us in maybe like a job loss or an illness or something like that. That's not the result of sin in our lives. It's just God getting our attention. I love in his book, The Problem with Pain, C.S. Lewis wrote that God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. Mm-hmm. He went on to call God pain God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. God uses circumstances to catch our attention and to draw us and to point us back to him. And so we need to pay attention to those things. Now, as far as the casting lots go, that's what God told the Israelites to do. They were perfectly obedient to God by using this methodology, because that's what God said. I want you to cast lots, and I'm going to control the lots, and we're going to get this figured out that way. He told them to do it. But it's important for us not to trust in, I don't know what the word is, because it's not sketchy, because they weren't being sketchy when they used the lots. For us, it would probably be sketchy. You used the word chance earlier, that there was nothing to chance with the lots. If we tried something like that, we would basically be leaving it up to chance. God doesn't want us to do that. He's given us resources. He's given us situations where he reveals himself. If we want to find God, if we're sincerely seeking him with all our heart, we're going to find him. And we're going to know which steps to take. We just need to pay attention, to listen, and to obey when we get the chance.
Well, let's keep moving. Joshua 14, verses 6 through 9. Caleb approached Joshua and reminded him of what Moses promised him in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. 45 years earlier, the Lord promised a particular part of Judah as an inheritance for Caleb and his descendants. Caleb was being blessed because he had followed God completely, and we get that in verse 9 of Joshua chapter 14. Well, so to fully grasp these verses, we want to remember what took place in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. So if we zoom back a little bit, at that point, the Israelites had left Mount Sinai and had arrived just south of Canaan. Moses sent 12 spies into the land to scout it out to learn what the Israelites could expect to encounter. And then the 12 spies came back and gave a report. So 10 of the 12 spies declared that the land was filled with people who were formidable and cities that were well fortified. So they, even though it was a land flowing with milk and honey, it would not be an easy one to take. So only Caleb and Joshua reported that the Israelites could certainly conquer it. And so that's, again, that's found in Numbers chapter 14. The phrase used to describe Caleb and Joshua back in Numbers was that they followed the Lord completely. So in Numbers 14:24, God promised that he would eventually give Caleb and his descendants land in the promised land as an inheritance. So here, all that time has passed, and here we are. They're in the promised land. They're ready to take their inheritance, the tribal allotments. And here we see Caleb reminding Joshua of God's promise to him from way back then. So it is just a reminder that the Lord is aware when we follow him, quote, completely, when we follow him wholeheartedly, he is very aware of that. He knows when we are seeking to be obedient and to honor him with our choices. Those don't get a passing glance from him. He's aware. And here he even very clearly blessed Caleb for it. And so that's where this part of the passage came from. You have to spend just a moment back in Numbers 13 and 14 to remember what this part's about. Okay, well, we'll just move on. Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 through 15. The land that God gave Caleb was hill country and the home of a giant race known as the Anakim. Now, 85 years old, Caleb felt as strong as when he was a young man, so he was confident that he could defeat any enemy with God's help. Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Well, Bob, talk to us about these verses.
You got to love Caleb. You really mm-hmm. do. You know, he's 85 years old at this point. My dad is 87. At the time we're recording this, he's about a month and a half away from turning 87. By the time we actually teach this lesson, he will be 87. He's not ready to take on giants. He's in great health for an 87-year-old. He gets around, does everything, but he's not leading an army. I mean, I'm almost 59, and I'm not in any kind of condition to take on a bunch of giants either. So you just got to love him. And he's not perturbed. I'm still a young man. I'm still healthy. I'm still ready to go. Give me the hardest thing you can find and let me tackle it. And the biggest problem you got, I'll solve it. I just love that. And that's one of the reasons, that's really one of the reasons that you and I were talking about this earlier, that we named our middle child Caleb. Because of him, because of this Caleb, it says in the scriptures that Caleb has a unique spirit, that my servant Caleb has a unique spirit. And that was what we wanted for our son. And so we gave him that name as a blessing, and he's thankfully lived up to that as well. But you know, this guy, faith just oozes out of him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. you recounted how just a minute ago, how in Numbers, he stood against the crowd and he fought back, and you know, and now here he is looking at those same giants and saying, hey, I wasn't scared of them 40 years ago. I'm not scared of them now either. So let's get her done. And so, you know, that's, but when you think about Caleb and even when you think about Joshua, for that matter, who was the other one who was promised entrance into the promised land from that generation, what really sticks out to me and what really impresses me is this is not a sudden thing with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Caleb all of a sudden decided, hey, you know, God's faithful. No. I'm going to trust him to do this. This was the accumulation of decades of faithfulness. A long road of faithful, righteous, wise choices that moved him from point A to point B in his faith. And, you know, he didn't just hit this peak all of a sudden. He just didn't kind of catch himself. He could stand up here because he had stood up before. Mm-hmm. He had stood up before because he had seen what God did before that. And so he had these mile markers, these spiritual mental mile markers that he was reflecting on and leaning into time and time and time again. And even from the days of slavery, because Caleb was probably in the generation that had come out of slavery. He was probably in bondage in Egypt and he and Joshua. And so he understood that. And so from the time of the Passover through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, through the manna, through the water from rocks, through the victories over powerful enemies, all the things that all the way up to now where he's seen the Jordan split and they crossed over on dry land yet again. And now they're starting to take the land. He's seen it all. And all of that's only deepened his desire to follow God, to trust God in that. And I would be frustrated if it was me.
Yep.
Because, you know, you just recounted in Numbers, here's the promise.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't get to live out that promise for 40 years, for more than 40 years.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like, okay, here I am wandering in the wilderness for 40 years with these knuckleheads because they didn't trust me. Or they didn't trust God the way I did. We could have been in the promised land by now. But these goofs, these goofballs, they rebelled against God, and I've got to pay the price for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be frustrating. That would be aggravating. But instead of getting aggravated and frustrated, Caleb just drove the stakes deeper. the stakes deeper. And said, God said it. I believe it. It's going to happen. And so he gets to this point where he tells Joshua, hey, you know the history. You know, they're like bros. They've been through a lot together. You know where we've been. You know what was promised. Give me what I deserve. Give me what I've waited for. Not deserve. That sounds bad. Give me what I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's a lesson in there for us. If we want to build a spiritual legacy that outlives us, you have to start making wise choices today.
Yes. Yeah.
Christianity isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long game. It's a determination to make the best choices for God's glory today and then wake up and try to do the very same thing tomorrow for as many years as God gives us on this earth. You know, we like to think in terms of, as Christians, we like the easy way out sometimes. And we like, wow, if God could just give me a burning bush like Moses, or if he could send angels in the temple like he did with Isaiah, or if he could just, you know, catch me on the Damascus road like he caught Paul, you know, that would be great. That would be awesome. But most of the time, you know, sometimes God may do that. He may stop us in our tracks in a moment and really give us some insight. But most of the time, living for God means living each day out.
Yeah.
And living and making, doing the small stuff, because the small stuff is what leads to the big stuff. And Caleb is a huge example of that.
Yeah. Well, so you saying that, it made me remember that our summary statement for this session is Caleb followed the Lord completely and received what God had promised him decades earlier. So it's the whole session is looking at that, not just Caleb's faithfulness, but the Lord's faithfulness to bring about what he said.
Yes.
would happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, every week we highlight something we think group leaders should not miss in our leader resources. So this week I want to bring your attention to the bonus digital content. It's found on page 72 of the leader guide. You'll see a QR code with the title Tribal Allotments of Israel next to it. And when you scan the QR code with your phone, it takes you to a map of the Promised Land that shows where each tribe's allotment of land is. And so you can just get a good visual of the Promised Land, as well as where each tribe was, where they settled. And it even shows the ones that settled on the eastern side of the Jordan River in the Sea of Galilee as well. So it's just an interesting thing. You see it all in one spot, everything that we have been talking about today. Well, Bob, thank you for being on the podcast today and sharing with us about this passage.
You're absolutely welcome, Amber. Now, blessings on everybody who's going to be teaching this lesson this week.
Yes, yes. It is kind of exciting because, I mean, they've been talking about getting to the Promised Land for a long, long time. Yes. And finally, it's like, we are here. So, yeah, it's an exciting one.
Yeah, what are y'all waiting for? It's coming. Yeah. Just hang in there. Right. It's coming.
Don't miss next week's episode as we discuss Session 7, and it's a study of Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 24. We hope you'll join us.